Hello and welcome to another episode of the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben,
I'm Nick.
and we've got a Life of Dad special for you today. I'm really excited to have our special guest. He is one of the co-founders of the Life of Dad website. He's also the co-host of the Life of Dad After Show podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Hamilton. How's it going?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you all doing?
Terrifically fantastic, fantastically terrific.
That's awesome.
I don't know.
We're having a night.
It's a night.
That's decent. That's
What
decent.
can I
Hey,
say?
shout out to my old stomping grounds, Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Much love to Philly. You know, I don't know who's bringing the tasty cakes and cheesesteaks tonight, but I'd love to have one. You know, pop bottles with you all.
I am,
Yeah.
because as Ben says, I have the better job.
Yeah, he has the better job.
Nice.
Writing copy.
Yeah. But we'll have to hit up Jim's Steaks on South Street. No doubt.
Nice.
No doubt.
Is
Nice. Get some Lorenzo's to cap it off, huh?
I was gonna ask you when you were here, what was your favorite when you were coming up back and forth from Delaware up to Philly, what was your favorite place for cheesesteaks?
Jim's was, you know, you can't
You can't ask
not
anybody that.
mention Jim's.
We're gonna get
Yes.
someone's gonna cut us.
See what? Someone's
Someone's
gonna
gonna
cut me.
cut us if we say the wrong place.
Hey, I'm in St. Louis right now. No one's gonna cut me
Yeah,
off of
right?
that. But I don't
Yeah.
know. Like, I used to work in Center City, Philadelphia. So I mean, to get to Jim's on the lunch breaks was like nearly impossible. You know what? Honestly, I didn't have too many cheese steaks. Like, I worked in Center City, like right near Love Park. I had a
Okay.
nonprofit job around there. So I would go to Reading Terminal Market and kind of like choose a random spot in there
Yeah, might as well.
on my lunch breaks. There was some good stuff in Chinatown that I was digging. Yeah, man, dude, some of the names are escaping me right now with
That's
some of
okay. What's
my favorite
which is the one
places.
that's in
But
Reading Terminal Market? I don't even know. That's weird.
there was like a diner called Janie's.
Okay.
What was it, like Vine Street near like 13th or 14th or something? I don't know, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I know the area.
Janie's.
Something like that.
We used to go to Janie's and get this thing called the Maurer.
The what?
The Maurer.
The Mauer.
Mauer. It was like a really good kind of dude. It had everything. It was like a wrap. It had like meats and like, oh my God, flavors galore.
Just
The place was
stop,
awesome.
stop, stop, because it's the middle of the night and there's nowhere to go for food around here besides like the skankiest diner in the universe.
What, the Pottstown Diner?
The Pottstown Diner
That place
is,
is
oh
terrible.
my God.
But actually, I went to college at Penn.
All
So
right.
I mean, I went to college in Philadelphia. Like, dude, I've been in Philadelphia since like '96 through, man, for a long time.
Nice.
I mean, so basically, like, kind of grew up there as a college student, and then, you know, when I started my career at Philadelphia Inquirer in a marketing job, and then moved back to St. Louis, got married, moved back to the East Coast, and settled in Delaware. But I actually had a nonprofit career
Yeah.
from like 2003 to like 2009 or 10 or something.
Gotcha.
Wow. Just like nonprofit jobs around there. But dude, like, I don't know, when I lived at Penn, there was this place called Allegro's Pizza. We used to eat stuff there. They had like Abner's cheesesteaks or
Abner's,
something. Yeah,
yeah.
Abner's was cool. Lee's Hoagies was awesome.
Lee's is the best, man.
Dude,
I love Lee's.
Lee's Hoagies was good. They had, well, oh my God, what was the awesome like deli out in West Philly?
You'd have to ask my brother. He's out in West Philly. I
Gotcha.
don't know about that.
Koch's. Koch's.
Koch's? I'll
Koch's.
take your word for it. I never get
Koch's
to
was the
Philly.
best. They made the best. I heard the founder like died or something.
Ah, it
But
sucks.
seriously, some of the best deli treats you could
That's
ever have, dude. Place is awesome.
what I'm gonna start calling them. Are you? What are you going for lunch? I would like a deli treat. Deli
Deli
treats.
treats.
Do you
Yeah,
mean a
I don't know, because
hoagie?
like you would walk in that place, they would give you like little cold cuts, like as you were waiting. It was like one of those mom and pops that like really took customer service like seriously.
That's sick.
You
No,
know,
oh my goodness.
Not sick. Well,
you,
not,
I'm
okay,
not
it's
gonna have you stand in
delicious.
line without me like giving you like a little piece of pastrami, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like by the time you got your meal, it was like, oh my God, and like the layers of like flavors and you asked me to stop talking about foods, but soft pretzels, cheese steaks, tasty cakes.
Oh shit, yeah.
What? I cannot show any more love. To
you're geeking out right now.
The Popping Bottles Dadcast.
You're getting Philly ill right now.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Did you not have enough for dinner? Did you not eat enough for dinner? Are you kind of hungry?
Dude, the funny thing is I'm in St. Louis right now, like in the Midwest, just like hanging in my dad's basement. I just had an awesome like fried catfish dinner for my mom. And St. Louis is my hometown. Like I was born and raised here. I'm basically kind of like just flew in here from D.C. today. With my 7-year-old son, just to get, you know, it's Thanksgiving week. I'm back home, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Just kicking it with my parents, you know, just eating some good food and some down home cooking, you know.
Yeah, man.
So like I'm probably as far as you can get from like, you know, tasty cake and cheesecake right now.
Yeah, seriously. But, I think the tasty cake goes stale before they get shipped to you out there.
Yeah, totally.
Don't you say that.
You don't
talk about tasty cakes like that. They're sacred.
Dude, I would totally dig some crimpets as my dessert right now.
All right.
Damn it.
Well, hey, can we... Are you still here? There we go.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Your picture is starting to go.
Yeah, Skype is geeking out a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
There it is. Okay. Sorry, folks. A little bit of technical difficulties.
Wing, wing, wing. That's my technical difficulties alarm.
That's your technical difficulties alarm?
Yes. Wing, wing, wing.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, loud and clear.
Good.
All right, man. So
we always hit the old commercials.
Yeah, right? Like
that's right. You all hit the Budweiser.
We can actually do it now.
Budweiser.
You
know what? Hey, you can totally do that. I'm in St. Louis right now. You're showing love to St. Louis right now, man. King of beers.
Dude, that... I got flagged on the Budweiser brewery tour when I was in college. We went for a National Broadcasting Society convention. So we went and did the Budweiser tour. I think I was either my junior or senior year of college. And we're walking around, they give you like the two or three like tiny glass samples at the end.
Yeah.
And so I take them. I'm not drunk by like anywhere close. And someone's like, dude, do your dance. So I did that stupid dance where you put your ankle in your hand and it's like you know.
So you really I'm demonstrating for so Ryan can see what I'm talking about. But it's this one where you just do that.
Oh, yeah. You grab your ankle and, you know, put your knee back and forth.
I wish the people could have seen that.
So do I, 'cause it was horrible.
I totally get you, what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. So they're like, this guy's flagged. I'm like, I had two tiny, like, 3-ounce beers. They're like, no, get out.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So
I didn't know that they were that stringent with their rules.
They were. I ran out, hopped on a Clydesdale, and, you know, galloped through downtown St. Louis.
They probably didn't like that too much, huh?
I sent him riding them home.
Yeah, Viking style.
You could have done worse than a Clydesdale, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably.
Mule, you know. Yeah. I'm sure there was one hanging out somewhere.
Probably.
So yeah, man. So the Life of Dad website.
Yes.
We just got involved with it a couple of weeks ago. You had invited us, which thank you so much. It's been, I mean, it's only been like what, 3 weeks, and it's just been an awesome experience so far.
Lifeofdad.com.
Yeah.
For all of you not in the know. If you're not in the know, get in the know. Visit it, read it, listen to it.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's awesome having you all on, man. I really dig in the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Four episodes into the Dadcast there, but
yeah,
really digging the format. Good to have you.
Yeah, this is episode 5, man.
Nice.
So we're getting there.
Nice. I'm glad to be your first guest.
Hold on.
Yeah, technically you're not.
Okay.
We had my 2-year-old Sophia on.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, and that wasn't impossible to manage.
Shout out to the toddler. That's all.
Yeah, she wasn't standing on the arm of Ben's futon in here,
jumping up and down
next to the mirror, saying, "Look at me! I'm like, just don't fall and hurt. Like, I don't want a broken bone while doing a podcast."
Gotcha.
But you're our first outside of the family.
Yes,
I understand.
I think you're the first one that speaks full and clear English. as well.
Okay, wait, I'll take it.
I don't even
I'll
speak full and clear English.
I try. I do my best.
So yeah, man. So for the viewers out there, well, I shouldn't say viewers. I should say listeners.
Listeners. And also, we apologize. We are not video casting this week.
Yeah,
like we said, we're liars.
Yeah, actually, last week we had said we were going to try doing a video cast thing, but it happens. We'll try again next week, probably.
Yep.
Yes. No guarantees. But so for those of you out there listening who haven't visited Life of Dad website yet, which you must, and definitely listen to the podcast when you get a chance. You know, all of the folks that Tommy and Art have gotten to interview on the Life of Dad podcast. It's just like looking through the list. It's some like amazing stuff, man. I don't even know how you guys do it. Like Art's got the hookup, man.
Dude,
it's crazy.
Dude, Tony Danza, man.
I know.
Wait, what? Did I miss this?
I don't know. We interviewed Tony Danza. It was one of my favorite interviews that we've ever done on the show. Once again, it actually gave love to Philly. Tony Danza used to teach in Philly.
He had
after his acting career. I don't know if y'all know too much about that.
I knew that, and he also did a reality show as a teacher in Philly. I think that was last year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely go check out the that interviews.
Yeah, man.
I'm partial to a lot of the interviews that we've had on the show, but that's one of my favorite.
Did you ask him who's the boss?
I wish Art had asked him about Samantha, but hey,
yeah.
That's just me. I wish Milano never came up.
Can we get Samantha on the show? Is what
we
want.
Can we actually get Samantha on the show?
Yeah,
you know,
in person.
This is a dad podcast, but let's face it. A lot of us dads that grew up in the 80s were into a Melissa Milano.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just come on, man. Like, let's cater to the audience a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Give him a little sweet treat.
Yeah,
right there, totally. Man. Ben didn't grow up in the 80s because he's like 12. But...
Well, okay, look, I was conceived in the 80s. We'll put it that way. I was born January 1990.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. Okay, all right. No. I see you giving me that look. I see you giving me that, oh, you're a young head. Yeah, I get it. That's fine.
Millennial father.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, technically, I'm a millennial, and I'm going to be 32 in a month.
You know what? Technically, I'm a millennial, and I'm 30. I think I'm on that. I'm like, I can't figure out if I'm a Gen Xer or a millennial. I'm like on the cusp or something.
Yeah, right.
How old are you?
35.
April
26, 1978 was my birthday.
I think that technically you're a millennial. We did a thing at work where we actually went through to like learn about the different generations in the workplace.
Totally.
And I always thought I was a Gen Xer because growing up, it's like, oh no, you're Generation X.
Yeah, that's what they. Yeah,
that's exactly what they said. And they're like, oh no, you're a millennial. I was like, dude, get your millennial and get it out of my face. I'm a Generation X.
All I know is I'm not a baby boomer.
yeah, certainly.
Holy.
So yeah, man. So for the listeners out there who have not checked it out yet, who don't really know anything about Life of Dad yet, how did it really
start?
Like I know Tommy Riles was, I guess you could say the main guy who came up with the idea.
The originator.
Yeah.
Can we just call him the Godfather?
The Godfather.
We could call him the Godfather, or the founding father, or whatever.
He's the George Washington of Life of Dad.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm tweeting him that right now.
Tommy G.W. Riles.
I guess I want to see him in some facial hair to actually prove that. but
does he have a powdered wig?
Yeah, totally. That'll be awesome. He's got to do it now. I've got to see that.
Yeah, exactly. That's got to be his new profile picture or something.
Yeah, totally. It's Movember. Like hair is in style right now.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be on your face, right? You can have it in his back, right?
Exactly.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. But Tom Riles is our original founder. Great guy. He lives out in L.A. Does a lot of entertainment TV work out in L.A. He warms up crowds for Ellen DeGeneres. And about 3 years ago, he and his wife were going through their first pregnancy, their first child. And during the term of the pregnancy, basically they were told by their doctors that his daughter was going to be, you know, basically had congenital heart defects, which, you know, certainly shocked them.
Yeah.
And kind of gave their whole family pause and, you know, a lot of concerns like, hey, is my daughter even going to have a shot at life? Even have a shot to be born? So basically the site started off is Tommy kind of revealing this personal story about his daughter and about the health of his daughter. And, you know, when she was born, she was basically rushed off to surgery.
Yeah.
And, you know, great nurses and doctors at Children's Hospital of L.A. basically saved his daughter's life. So the first ever blog post on Life of Dad, I mean, this really just started off as his personal blog, a WordPress blog.
Yeah.
Like, a really, like, I mean, if you're familiar with internet.org in like, the Wayback Engine, how you can kind of, like, go back and, like, look at old web pages.
Yeah. Yeah.
Old cache versions. Go check out Life of Dad from, like, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's old school. It's like, you know, I'm not going to talk bad about it, like, you know, relative to now. It was just, like, your plain vanilla WordPress site.
Yeah.
Regular old blog.
Okay.
And it was the sole purpose of it was to inform and keep his family up to date about his daughter's health. Like, hey, I'm in the hospital. I wish I could get some sleep. Hey, you know, this is how my daughter's doing. She's progressing well. Like, she just had surgery and she's doing all right, kind of stuff. Long story short, it really just started off as that. Since Tommy had, you know, kind of this entertainment and comedy career, he always kind of wanted, like, anything that he touched to be infused with comedy.
Okay.
And if you think about it, like, comedy is a good anesthesia. It's a good kind of way to break the ice and to talk about kind of touchier subjects. And,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Anything with fatherhood. You know, fatherhood is tough. Parenthood is tough.
Yeah.
He knew that, you know, talking about some of these issues, you know, we're going to have to bring in some comedy. And so he started making videos, things like Dassler party videos and, like, crazy rap videos, and had his brother-in-laws do crazy things like, what did they do? They did something like the House Dads of Orange County.
That's awesome.
The Real House Dads of Orange County. So Tommy and his brother-in-laws just started rocking out and doing all these, like, crazy, like, video shorts.
Yeah.
All centered upon fatherhood, but all just kind of wacky and ridiculous. And they did this thing with one of my childhood buddies, David Guest, who's also one of the co-founders of the company, called the Dashler Party, which is basically kind of like how women have, like, the baby shower before the child's born. This is the dad's last hurrah before his child's born.
Yeah, the dad's side, party, yeah.
This is, like, last hurrah before the child pops out and his life goes to crap.
We're not saying that the fatherhood is crap. We would never say fatherhood is crap.
No, absolutely, absolutely. This is, we're
life as you know it.
Family show, right? So they just started doing, like, these crazy, wacky video shorts. And long story, I was on Facebook one day. David Guest, who's the original, one of the co-founders with Tommy, is a long, you know, I knew David Guest from, you know, he grew up in St. Louis with me.
That's cool.
We went to camp together back in, like, you know, middle school.
Nice.
And I always, like, was a really good friend of David's. And long story short, I was on Facebook one day, and I hadn't seen David Guest in, like, decades or so.
Yeah.
But I was on Facebook and, like, thought of him. I reached out to him, like, hey, man, what are you up to? And we just started catching up through Facebook. And he was like, ah, man, just chilling. Man, I met this guy, Tom, and, like, we're making these videos. Like, we're doing this, like, fatherhood thing.
Yeah.
And they were looking for a web guy, and one thing led to another, and Next thing I know, they were pulling me in to, like, talk about this whole fatherhood blog thing, which I knew absolutely nothing about. Honestly, the first time I saw Life of Dad, I thought it was, like, weird. I saw the bachelor party, but I saw all these, like, wacky, crazy videos, and I thought it was, like, the most bizarre thing that I'd ever seen.
And what are these people thinking?
Myself, it was just, like, you know, like, not, that's not my style. I don't even, like, deal with stuff like this. Like, but it was the way that they were talking about it. They were kind of like, no, well, no, this is, like, a really serious thing. And the more I got to know, like, of Tom and his daughter's story, I was like, wait a second, there's really something to this. Like,
yeah.
All these guys are really serious fathers, but they're rocking out and using comedy to, like, kind of, like, share their story with the world. And these are, like, rough stories to share with the world, but look at the way they're doing it. And it kind of, like, drew me in. And the more we started talking about and bouncing ideas, we were kind of like, wait a second, there's something here.
Yeah.
There's, like, a bunch of fathers out there with, like, different kinds of stories. And at the time, I was working a nonprofit job in Philadelphia, Center City.
Yeah.
And was going through a separation and divorce with my wife. And, you know, have a child who has special needs and his education. And I looked at my own life as a father, and I was just going through all kinds of tough stuff myself. So I was like, wait a second, there's really something to this.
Yeah.
If we kind of do this right, we can build a social network and allow not only ourselves to tell our stories to the world, but, like, our friends can tell their stories, and, like, their friends can tell stories, and this can kind of, like, grow organically. And when I look at the past 2-3 years, it just really kind of grew from the, Tommy, you know, it's kind of sharing stories from the hospital to his family to, like, 3 to 6 of us in the original, you know, kind of Life of Dad crew sharing our own personal stories to, like, you know, 6 became 10, and 10 became, like, 50, and 50 became 100.
Yeah, snowball,
like, before
man.
We know it, I mean, it's just like, and now you all are, like, joining and, you know, sharing your podcast with us. It really kind of grew organically from a personal blog, okay. WordPress blog.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
When did you get involved with it? Like, what year was it? I mean, we're obviously 2013 right now.
It must have been, like, 2010 or so. Okay. 2009, 2010, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
It's all kind of hazy, but I think 2010 is when we really started, like, coding it.
How quickly did it kind of evolve from, like, you know, I mean, when you got involved, like, how quickly did it go from, like, you know, the small type blog into, like, it's pretty freaking big at this point.
Yeah. That still blows my mind. Like, 2013 has been a good year for us. 2010, if you can imagine, like, just a plain vanilla WordPress blog.
So like mine is what you're saying?
No, I did not say that. You said that. Actually, you know what? No, quite frankly, I've been to your site. You know, Papa Brownie?
Yes.
PapaBrownie.com, yes. Man.
That site has bolder, more beautiful visuals than the original Life of Dad. No offense, Tommy, if you're listening to this, but Papa Brownie probably has much more visually appealing than the original Life of Dad.
Well, my daughter's pictures are all over it, so.
If anyone's out there listening to this show, go to internet.org, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's what you said earlier, yeah.
Go check it out. Go dig up the archives of Life of Dad. Take the timeline all the way back to the beginning and look how kind of basic the site was. But we started just talking about it. Honestly, like, some of the original talks that we had about the site and about fatherhood and about kind of, like, what we were trying to do with it originated when I was working in Philly. And like, I had a nonprofit job in Center City, Philadelphia, around Love Park. And, like, on my, you know, quote unquote, I don't smoke, but, like, on my quote unquote, like, you know, people would take a smoke break.
Yeah.
I would go take, like, kind of entrepreneurship breaks, and I would go to the stairwell. I would go to, like, these, like, kind of vacant office spaces in the building.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, call up Tommy and David and start talking about the site.
Nice.
And we just started bouncing ideas. I remember, like, I lived in Central Delaware at the time and would commute up to Philadelphia. which would take me like an hour and a half each way. So like 3 hours out of my day was spent commuting, basically, yeah, to and from home and work. A lot of that time was spent on the phone with Tommy and David, just bouncing ideas about, like, hey, you know, what do we see in fatherhood? Like, here are the stories we want to share. Here are the kind of things we want to do. And a few weeks of that happened, and then I kind of got, like, a real devastating blow to my personal life. I got laid off from that nonprofit job.
Wow.
So
been there. Yeah, been there.
Yeah. So I've been there twice. And it, yeah, it sucks. Because I was going through a separation and divorce, had mounting kind of tuition costs for my son. It was a really tough time in my life. But on the positive note from that layoff, because I was collecting a ton of unemployment at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, so that was actually kind of like the silver lining in the cloud. It's like, okay, so I don't have a job. Literally all I did with my time was like sit at home, drink beer, and mope around and talk with Tommy and David on, you know, at 4:30, like every week. I think it was like Tuesday morning, kind of like 4:30 a.m. phone calls. You know, when I say 4:30 a.m., I'm talking about Tommy and David were out in L.A.
Yeah.
I'm in Delaware and in Philly, like at 7:30 in the morning. Tommy and David get up at the crack, like pre-dawn, like before their children wake up, having these morning phone calls, like talking about life of dad and what we wanted to take it.
Yeah.
And dude, we started sketching stuff out on napkins and like, you know, sketching stuff out on like texting ideas and concepts back and forth. Had a really cool like digital artist and designer. His name is James Jones in the Philadelphia area.
Yeah.
Who I worked with through a project I was doing at Larry Gold Studio in Philadelphia, and just got to understand James Jones and how he worked. James Jones was actually the guy who originated that kind of neon sign logo.
That logo is awesome.
Yeah, the whole site looks great, man.
Appreciate that. And yeah. So yeah, James Jones, this guy, graphicdynamo.com if you want to check James Jones out.
Gotcha.
That dude was instrumental. I mean, the logo itself for this company took 2 months or so. Just 4:30 a.m. phone calls. James, you know, talking back and forth. Oh, no, I like this. I don't like that. Man, I want to put like a neon sign. I want this have a comedy club, like brick background looking feel. Like, then, you know, like we want it to feel like a comedy club.
So that's like great, man.
Brick backgrounds, neon sign. Oh, yeah. We wanted that shit to be iconic, you know? and dude, like 2-3 months later, James Jones nailed it.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like that neon sign, man, when we saw it, he gave us two variations of it. He gave us like the one line version of it and like the two line version of it. We're like, dude, we can use both.
Yeah.
But man, a lot of, and that was just like, it was the manifestation of a lot of ideas that like didn't make the cut. Like we were thinking of like, oh man, we want to have a place where dads can like hang out and like, you know, kick their feet up and just like chill out and hang out and talk about stories and share stories and ideas and joys and pains. And we're like, yeah, man, we want each dad to have a space like a man cave where they can like deck it out and pimp it out however they want.
Yeah, and you actually like, call it
kind of gaudy, like kind of MySpacious. If you like, you know how people would like deck out and pimp out their profiles on MySpace.
Yeah,
it was kind of getting like some of the original ideas were kind of getting like a little tangential. Like, I guess it was like we were getting kind of crazy with it. We kind of had to rein it back in. Like, nah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, dude, we're having like, what if we allow like cowboy themes and like have a different style and flair? Like,
I'd totally go for a cowboy theme.
So we ended up with a neon sign.
Yeah.
We ended up with a neon sign on a brick background, and we're like, dude, this is going to be a comedy club.
Yeah, it's great.
And everything we do through the site is going to be like fun and entertaining. We're going to keep this loose and fun. And any dad that wants to join, just by all means, share your story.
Yeah, definitely.
However you want to share it. Be it through podcast or a blog post or a video or just a quick shout, just release your story, man.
Yeah. Tap it. And I gotta say,
yeah.
I mean, thinking about, you know, all that in the beginnings and just throwing around ideas and stuff like that, and it was just, you know, you know, you three guys on a phone call. Mm-hmm. And then, what was it, last week was the dad bloggers group chat
video thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, man,
that was awesome. Just standing in my kitchen making bottles took me...
You were drinking bottles?
No. I was making bottles. Right? I was making bottles. I was making bottles up, and
he
it took me...
He was being a responsible father, wasn't he?
Exactly. But yeah, standing in my kitchen making bottles, and it took me like 3 times longer than it usually does, just because I'm standing there and I'm listening to these stories, you know, coming out and everybody talking and and tweeting in and everything like that. It was just awesome. And I think you can actually did they record that? Can you still go back and look at that?
Yeah,
you know, actually, you can. And you know, and I really appreciate your feedback on the dad blogger chats, because, dude, we're like 4 episodes into the dad blogger chat, and the one you're talking about was probably one of my favorites.
It was the first one we've both seen, and it was breathtaking. Awesome.
It was the storytelling one, right?
Yeah,
with Andy Harold from How to Be a Dad and Whit Honey.
Whit's crazy.
Kind of a star-studded hodgepodge of dad bloggers.
It was Whit, Andy, Carter Gaddis, from Dad Scribe.
Tommy, obviously.
Yeah, Tommy hosting it. Was it Adrian?
Adrian Colt.
The Didactic Pirate. Right?
Seth.
Yeah. Who am I missing? Oh, Beta Dad, Andy, is it Hines?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I missing anybody? I feel like I'm missing somebody.
But all those guys, man, just incredible gentlemen and dad bloggers and entertainers. I mean, the dad blogger chats... It's amazing to see that kind of that we've started that up, because I don't know. It's like we've done a lot of podcasting in the past year.
Yeah.
We've done plenty of blog posts in the past 2-3 years. The dad blogger chats to me represents an evolution of Life of Dad and of dad blogging in general, where everybody's really starting to get to know one another on a more personal level. Now, I say that with all due respect to things like the Dad 2.0 summits of the world and various parenting and blogger conferences. The gentlemen at Dad 2.0 Summit putting on an awesome, awesome, awesome time and event. And in fact, you know, I think on our last dad blogger chat, we had Doug French and John Pacini and Jim Higley and all the rest of the gentlemen on there talking about Movember and Men's Health.
Yeah.
The dad blogger chats to me represents dads truly hanging out and sharing a story and getting to know. Like I've got countless emails and messages and tweets over the past few weeks. Tommy's gotten countless messages over the past few weeks saying, like, oh my God, I feel like I know these guys.
Yeah.
I think you even texted me like through Facebook or something. Benjamin, I think it was you, was like, dude, I feel like I know a lot of these guys. And I'm like new here.
That's great.
I feel the exact same way.
Yeah, man. And I was like, we really want to see unity in the community. I don't know, that sounds kind of corny because it rhymes.
Nah, man, that's really a catchphrase there.
Somebody cue Queen Latifah.
Exactly. We'll get the queen in on it. We'll make a hashtag.
UNITY, awesome. It's a unity.
You all took that there.
I tend to take it over the line, like way past the line.
The musical stylings of, of Nick Brown.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You outdid me. The cool thing I thought about, you know, the dad blogger chats, and then, I mean, we're all part of a dad bloggers Facebook group, and it's like, it's 500 deep, like, it's insane. I said to you, Ryan, before we, you know, started recording, I had no idea there were this many dad bloggers out there.
Yeah.
And it's what's kind of funny, it's like, technically, we're all competition. You know what I mean? Like, we are. We're all, like, competing against each other for that traffic.
Technically.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, everybody supports everybody else.
Sure.
You know, we're not, like, cutthroat, like, no, I'm not going to share your stuff because I want that traffic. No, I'm going to share your stuff. You can share my stuff. Yeah. We're going to help each other succeed. And there's a lot of teamwork in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, I, like I said, I didn't know that there were that many. I knew of a few. You know, I know there's a huge amount of mommy bloggers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's an thousands. Insane amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think makes it even cooler that there's, you know, this awesome group of dad bloggers just coming together. I feel like it's the Avengers of dad, you know.
Dadvengers.
Yes, we're the Dadvengers.
Dadvengers assemble.
That's how it feels to me, I guess, in a way. You know, we're all coming together to try to help each other, you know, improve. And, I mean, it's not not just be a better blogger or get more traffic. Like, be a better dad.
Yeah.
You know, be a better dad. Be a better husband. Just be a, you know, a lot of ways, be a better man, you know, period. Which is great. And, I mean, you know, we all need to... you know, there's no one's perfect dad. No one's a perfect husband.
Yeah.
You know, so having that group of other men there that you can just like lean on, and it's, you know, if something's bugging you, hey, yo guys, this is what's going on. Can you help me?
Yeah.
Do you have suggestions? You know, that kind of stuff. It's just, it's awesome. And, you know, I was in my own little bubble for, you know, 2.5 years, just doing my blog, not really knowing what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, it's just like in the last month, I'm in this awesome, I'm in this cool exclusive group. It's like we're the 2020 club with Jay-Z of dad bloggers.
S Club 7.
Yes.
It's interesting you say that because I think a few episodes back, a few weeks ago on one of our 4:30 a.m. calls, we were talking about this thing about how dad blogging is the new hip hop.
Yeah.
We had Zach Rosenberg on the Life of Dad After Show. Zach Rosenberg from 8-Bit Dad, for those of you out there.
Oh, yeah, he's 8-Bit Dad. He's
a very well-known dad blogger, awesome guy. You know, definitely check out 8bitdad.com.
Absolutely.
You know, he brings it retro, the retro kind of 8-Bit awesomeness to like dad blogging. Really cool guy. But basically, we were talking about how dad blogging is the new hip hop because, to your point, Nick, everybody's competing. We're all competing. I mean, we're all good at what we do. We all have a different perspective on fatherhood. We all have a different style of blogging.
Yeah.
Or in your case, blogging and podcasting, or however you might express yourself, video, audio, text, whatever.
Yeah.
We're all I guess, you know, quote unquote, competing for impressions and for readership and for people's time and attention.
Yeah.
But what I will say about it is, yeah, we are competition for one another, but it's like a healthy competition because we all sharpen one another. You know, we all make one another stronger and better. And to your point, like, we do, like, have one another's back. I mean, I know there were times recently in, you know, some of the hardship and struggle in my life, I'm going through a divorce right now.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, you know, kind of being, you know, at my end, like, you know, recently, a few months ago or something, getting on that Facebook group and literally, like, tens and tens of people, like, having my back.
Yeah, man, definitely.
And giving a word of encouragement, like, giving, like, private messaging me, like, hey, dude, if you're in the area, let's hang out. Hey, dude, if you ever need anything, feel free to give a call, kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
Now, you know, some of these guys are bloggers that, you know, like, I've read some of their stories, and like, dude, I wanted to write about that. I was just about to write something. You know? It's like, like, people who are quote-unquote competition, like, really are there for you.
Yeah.
And you say the thing about mom bloggers, too, and I see oftentimes in the world people say, oh, well, yeah, mom bloggers have it made. They've been around the block. There are like thousands of them. They've already made their mark, blah, blah, blah. But when I look at dad bloggers, I don't know I don't know if we as dad bloggers and dad podcasters and dad content creators are really attempting to do the same thing that mom bloggers are doing. It's like almost like our purpose, our end game is different.
Yeah.
Like, for a mom blogger getting into the game, like a rookie mom blogger nowadays, yeah, okay, great, go make your way in the world. Society already sees you as like the main parent traditionally.
Traditionally.
Yeah. You know, they say, right? Yeah. So okay, you're gonna get in the blogging game and you know learn how to you know kind of work it and make your money and do your giveaways and kind of grow your stature in your business as a mom blogger. I don't think that that's necessarily the major end game for a dad blogger. Yeah, I mean, and I see a lot of guys get into it for you know working with companies and working with brands. Life of Dad never started off as a money-making entity.
Yeah.
To be completely transparent and honest, we've only started to quote-unquote monetize Life of Dad in this past year.
Yeah.
And we've done fairly successfully at it. But we never set out originally to do it. I mean, again, this started off in a hospital room.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
With absolutely no monetary, you know, aims whatsoever. And I think a lot of guys start off like that in their blogging. When I look at the world, in one of our most recent partners at Life of Dad is the National Fatherhood Initiative. There's a major fatherhood absence problem going on in the world right now. The lack of fathers in the household is creating a bunch of societal ills, crime, in drug use and high school graduation rates and things like that could certainly be improved by having more fathers like us, upstanding, involved parents in the home, fathers in the home.
Yeah.
So we're fathers, I think, we're in this for completely different reasons. We have something to prove to the world. We have this kind of feeling in this thing to show to the world, like, hey, yes, we're not the bumbling idiot. Yeah, we're the quote-unquote parent with a capital P also.
Yeah,
like we're exactly. You know we're equals in the household as far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
So we have some societal kind of stereotypes to overcome, but we also have some hardcore facts and numbers to overcome.
Yeah.
If we really get this kind of dad blogger movement right, we could see on a societal level, on a global if not a national if not a global level, kind of see some improvements in society if we get more fathers thinking fatherhood is cool.
Yeah,
if we see more dads blogging and podcasting and doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast all the time. Like, I've been listening to them, you know, past 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's that's therapy. Awesome. I can listen to it after I drop my son off to, you know, school in the morning. And it makes my day better from, you know, kind of comic relief. I listen to Jim Higley if I want to, you know, get hardcore kind of advice from, like, you know, some of his special guests. I listen to Dadzaster.
Yeah.
I listen to the guys from NYC Dads Group. I listen to Dadstractions. You know, Dude, I listen to Jeff Bogle on his Kindy Music podcast. Man, I listen to all you guys, man, and I read all your blogs, man. I'm the biggest fan that there is in the dad blogger space because I see thousands of content items, like databases full of just dad content.
Well,
that's all I consume all the time.
I'll tell you what, man. We actually got 30 seconds left.
Okay.
But actually we just kind of I just wrote a Nick a little note. We're going to do a part 2 cuz this is awesome.
We're
going to
have you on for part 2.
Well, I know you're having Art Eddie on soon.
Yeah, hopefully next week, man.
Dude, he can be the part 2.
All right.
I can crash it along with him if he
will
have me.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see.
Whatever.
Thank you so much for
appreciate it.
For coming on and talking with us, especially, you know, being out there with your family right now.
Anytime, man.
It's really, really great.
All good, man. Anytime, man. I-